Yeah, I want to keep reading this article on the Groiper problem. I call it Groiper solution for the GOP. And this is commentary from establishment GOP staffers and people, you know, that are part of the party infrastructure. And they're very afraid, and they're afraid for a reason. They can't stop what's coming. And they know it. So I want to get into it here right now. Conversations with four senior Republican congressional staffers, as well as think tank scholars. Oh, I'm a think tank scholar. I'm an analyst and scholar now as well. I declare myself one. Heritage expats, academics who study think tanks and up-and-coming young Republicans reflected a widening generational split and mutual distrust over the issue. We already know what they're talking about on the issue. And that's how key all of this is to American politics. It is the entirety of it right now. The foreign control and dictatorship over our foreign policy is everything the young people care about, and everyone cares about. I'll read this here. Everyone knows what the problem is. The organizations that bring young staffers to Washington, D.C. have spent the last decade prioritizing blind ideology or ideological loyalty instead of competence or intelligence, said a senior GOP congressional staffer granted anonymity to discuss sensitive personal issues. We have a generation of rabid, incompetent idiots. Shout out to the unks, dude. Shout out to the nephews, too. Shout out to our generation, the Zoomers putting in work. Zoomers, LFG, exclamation point, smiley face. There we go. Okay. Of specific concern are those labeled Groipers. I'm a Groiper. Technically followers of the self-described white identitarian. Ooh, it's an evil thing to be proud of being white. Gen Z streamer Nick Fuentes. Like, we're all proud of being white. We like being white. Like, we're not apologizing for that anymore. Okay, that's really like 2015. Gen Z streamer Nick Fuentes, though it's also used as a catch-all term of abuse for young anti-establishment right-wingers, akin to the usage of look at the propaganda. The propaganda is so crazy. They're trying to say, because it's not right to call you that when you're a Nick Fuentes supporter, they're saying the usage of neocon is bad. That's a catch. They're calling, dude, that language is so, you, Kathy, you ain't a good writer, Kathy. I caught you real quick. Look at that. A catch-all term of abuse. So if Groiper is a catch-all term for abuse for the young, then calling neocon a catch-all term for abuse for the old, when the old are trying to kill everybody in these Zionist wars, talk about all the politicians up there on the Hill, you're damn right they're neocons. We should use that slur. It is a slur. It is disgusting. You should not want to be a neocon. Fuentes, who has millions of viewers and, he's a deep anti-Semite and misogynistic worldview. You're allowed to hate men and do whatever you want, and to hate the Semites, the real Semites, the Palestinians, and want to kill them. But, you can't go the other direction. Gained celebrity among young conservatives as a pro-Trump internet personality and far-right campus agitator. Screw you. You're all agitators. These people are all disgusting. He has since turned on the president for his handling of Epstein files in support of Israel and the war of Iran. Since 2024, he was right. Trump did lie, and he was a failure. So I'm going to read this. Prominent conservative commentators have alleged that Groiperism is spreading. Oh, it is spreading among younger members of the GOP, including in government. A view backed by examples like the young Trump administration lawyer who admitted to a Nazi streak, blah, blah, blah. Other examples as well. We're going to get back into this after the break. I want to break this down. These people are trying to say that Zionist occupied government is not something you're allowed to say. These people are trying to say that neocon is not something that you're allowed to say. And it's just like the classic example of everyone calling us a Nazi, everyone calling us racist, everyone calling us Hitler. Okay. All right. Maybe I am racist. Maybe I am a Nazi. If you say I am just for walking down the street and being white, even though I treat everybody the same and love everyone created by God, you know, so if you're saying that we're anti-Semitic, if you're saying that we're Groipers, if you're saying that we heil Nick Fuentes because we believe in reality, then maybe we do those things. And that's what self-fulfilling prophecy is. And these people don't know what they've wrought. They have no idea. And I'm scared of it. Everyone should be. Like, because hell is coming and we don't know what it looks like. We do know what one of the factions is going to be in that Mad Max world. That will be the Groipers in ascendancy. I will cover that into the next segment. We got Matt Murphy, Green Beret, joining us at 4:30. Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy 1776RX.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
The times of brainwashing your children to support Netanyahu at Sunday school and then funneling them into the Young Republicans Club are basically over. You got about, you know, maybe a year or two left to your grift and your propaganda, and then the Groypers are coming and they're going to put it all to an end. We're talking about the future of the Republican Party and what that's going to look like. I'm Rex Jones, host of The War Room. I'll be joined by Matt Murphy here coming up in 30 minutes. We're looking forward to that. Former Green Beret, a lot of experience like dealing with these radical groups as well. But let's talk about the radical group in our own backyard, because even though this will try to sell you, this article I'm about to continue reading will sell you on the idea that the Groypers are the radical group, the people in power that say that neocon is a slur that can't be used against them, those are the real radicals. So when you understand the Groypers as a return to actually moderate policy when it comes to how people treat each other, then you'll start to get the movement a lot more. It's a lot more grassroots than you think you expect. And there's a lot more people of all various ages and different backgrounds that are a part of it. Right? It's not just the youth as well. You know, oftentimes older people are very impressed by Nick and what he's able to do. And my grandma said he's one of the best. So there you go. How's that for an endorsement? But I'm going to continue reading this and just listen to the propaganda here. But there's a difference. Oh, tell me, Unc. Or aunt, this lady, a demon witch, whatever. But there's a difference between critiquing military aid to Israel or lamenting the death toll in Gaza. So you're just supposed to do the British cuck thing where you go, oh, it's a tragedy. It's a complete and total tragedy. It's what that British lady who interviewed Tucker, she said, I've been to Gaza. It's a tragedy. And then he goes, oh, who'd you go to Gaza with? She goes, oh, I went with the Israel Defense Force. I went with the IDF. Oh, so you went on a tour? You know, and I talked to Anthony Aguilar. He's been there. He's part of the GHF. He knows the truth. They don't even take him to Gaza. They take him to Egypt. They take him to a fake aid site, like outside of the border. You know, if you're lucky, you go inside Gaza with the IDF there, and then they probably hit you with the thing from Men in Black and make you forget. But I'm going to keep reading this. There's a difference between critiquing military aid to Israel or lamenting the death toll in the Gaza war and throwing around, discrediting it, making it seem juvenile. You got to notice every use of English that they do. Like Zionist occupied government. You're not allowed to say Zog. We live under Zog. Both sides of the political spectrum. They support endless war in the Middle East. There's nothing we can do about it. No war powers resolution gets passed. We do terrorist attacks and genocide. We blew up a school. We blew up bridges, threatening to blow up power plants, threatening to do genocide on these people. We killed their Pope, their supreme leader, their president, all in one guy. But oh no, you can't say throwing around terms like Zionist occupied government when Netanyahu comes to Congress and he's the only person, the only issue, the only item that ever gets a double standing ovation 12 times over from both the Democrats and Republicans. Whoa. We've given them the most aid out of any place ever in the history of giving foreign aid. We've given them over $300 billion. Hey, no. Don't talk about that. You're a bigot. As one young GOP operative I know tends to do, he tends to tell the truth. That's pretty cool. Probably go far. Polling shows that the overwhelming majority of young conservatives reject anti-Semitic views. Though their support for Israel has dropped significantly from prior generations. Arrest Netanyahu. Put him in Impel Down from One Piece. Put him in prison with Magellan. They are also more skeptical of military intervention than their forebears. I mean, we don't want to die at war, you sick bastard. more skeptical of military intervention. Like, I hope you remember me talking about this when you're on the plane or on the boat going to fight and kill Iranians, Russians, Chinese, whatever you want to say. And when you're on that boat and you're thinking about, man, like, maybe I should have protested. Maybe I should have started doing a show. Maybe I should have told my friends, families, neighbors about this. Maybe the year's 2030, you're about to be sent off to die in Myanmar or something. Little prediction there. They are also more skeptical of military intervention. Oh, are you skeptical of it when you're about to die? You know, I bet Tyler, Angel, Sarah, and Michael were very skeptical as they were in the U.S. military base that amounts to a shoebox, that we don't have the Patriots or Thads to defend in Jordan, and they get blown up and executed basically on orders of the president. You know, it's just a little bit of American blood. It's not a war. It's a conflict that became a war, silly, but it's also a war we've been fighting for 47 years. How do you square that? How do you deal with that? All right. The older members of the Gen Z cohort were toddlers on 9/11 and grew up in an era of multi-decade, multi-trillion dollar wars, all true, and found themselves unable to afford homes as they reached adulthood. Many come by their mistrust of GOP orthodoxy, honestly. Like, this is so, like, the people that raped you, overhead shot, please, the people that raped you want you to thank them. Can I just lay it out like that for you? Like, don't get me wrong, but George Bush and Donald Trump are the ones doing these massive wars in the Middle East for Netanyahu, right? Don't get me wrong, but when we're supposed to, you know, root for the Republicans and have them in power, do they have to do anything for us, or are they just supposed to execute Netanyahu's 35-year plan where he brings the cartoon bomb photo to the UN like it's the Looney Tunes and calls for nuclear annihilation of Iran before they can get a nuke or do whatever, even though they ban the bomb? Like, how much longer are we going to do this, man? How much longer are we going to accept the notion that these people actually care about us or prioritize us at all? We're Navy item like 101 on the list. All right. And everyone always says it's not just Israel. It's all the other lobbies. 100%. 100%. And we're down at the bottom of the list underneath everybody. The American people are totally taken for granted in this country. This is why you're losing the Republican Party to the Groypers. Because the Groypers, they stand for something. And it might be Pepe. It might be a little frog. It might be Nick Fuentes. It might be whatever. Right. And you might hate that. You might despise that. But at least it's something real. What do the Republicans have? They have nothing. They never suffer. Trump was given the Reagan deal. He suffered before. He lost money before. He's not losing money now. And with the concept of selling out, you don't have to sell out like all at once. Well, that's what Trump sure as hell seems to have done. So you have to ask yourself, when did it first start to occur? When did it first start to happen? I'm going to keep reading this incredibly pretentious article from Politico. For these young Republicans, their elders' complaints about their generation don't reflect genuine concerns over credentials and experience. They're about winning a debate within the Republican Party. That's an assertion. Like, that's you saying that about people. Look how they disrespect the youth. Yeah, for us young people, you know, everything you just mentioned, the multi-trillion dollar wars, 9/11 going through that, all the different things we had to pay for, bankrupting of the country, not being able to buy a house. Yeah. It doesn't reflect genuine concerns over credentials and experience of the people that created the situation as to what led to us all being broke and then dying in wars. And certainly, it's got nothing to do with that at all, right? Like, imagine the arrogance of believing something like that. It's about winning a debate within the Republican Party. Well, if the Republican Party is our vehicle for change, then you're damn right. We care about the people's credentials and the people's history and track record of what they've done in office. What have these people done that has not screwed us? Seriously, what have these people done that's not at least a pathway to screw us? We're supposed to be proud of net negative migration. We have 600,000 Chinese students coming here. We have more H-1B people being deployed. And this is not Jose. This is somebody coming over from another country, thousands of miles away, that's going to have 12 anchor babies. And like, that's what your grandchildren's future will be. They'll be a minority in their own country, whether you're white, black, Mexican, don't matter. Like, do you want that? You know, we got a pretty cool thing going on here. You want to introduce people from 137 different countries? Also, that Israel can have its wars? They're never going to do that. They're never going to take the migrants. They want us to take the Palestinians. Look at that. Trump pushes in his chair. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Please, please, BB. Anything for you. You know, his wife brings over trunks of her dirty laundry. And she says, Trump, get on your knees and wash it. And he says, absolutely, it's what I do. I do it anything for Israel. Look, he's even wearing a blue and white tie and outfit. He said, BB's like, I like it when you dress up for me like that. I like when you put on the blue and white. Anything for you, BB. Anything to make you happy. I even made JD do it. JD Vance, I made him put on the blue tie just for you. So look at his smug rat face. Look at him sitting there. He is the king of America. He owns our country. He owns your ass. If you're American right now and you're in the armed forces, like, this is your daddy. You better start, you know, you change your dad's name in your cell phone, give it his name, and then you get Netanyahu's official state line to the embassy or whatever. Put that in your phone as daddy, because, you know, maybe one day he'll call you and he'll say he needs you to die for Israel directly. And at that point, you put on your little hero boots, hero cape, you say, yes, sir, Netanyahu, and you jump out of that battle bus over Tehran. Who knows? Maybe that's coming. Look, he's sitting behind the fire, the fires of hell. He's literally a princeling demon, one of the lords of hell. Like, he's a monster. He looks like a Keebler elf as well. And this guy runs America. It's just so sick. And like, this is why I'm able to broadcast so often and so many times a day. It's just because it fills me with rage. Think about Americans don't know what's been taken from them. And what's been taken from you is your national sovereignty. The Palestinians, they've had their houses taken from them, had their food taken from them, had their land taken from them, had their children taken from them. But they still have their dignity, as in they still know what they are. They know they're Palestinian, they know they're Gazan, they know they're from that land, right? And their parents have been there genetically, can prove it, thousands of years, unlike the Eastern European Israelis. We don't know who we are anymore. We don't know who we are to a degree where this guy comes in and runs our state, runs our nation, controls our foreign policy. Oh, you, that's a bit extreme. You know, maybe our relationship with Israel needs to be reworked, but it's not really that crazy, not really that bad. He gave Trump a golden pager. The pagers are bombs they killed the Hezbollah people with. Okay, open criminal threats all the time. Talking about how America is very easy to maneuver and Trump can be maneuvered and manipulated, calling the Palestinians Amalek, and then we co-sign that by proxy by giving them the weapons and missiles they use to commit their genocide. This guy is Darth Sidious 2.0. This guy is Chucky. This guy is Freddy Krueger. Like, he is as bad as it can be. And Americans aren't aware of that because, like the example of the dodo bird, we're so isolated from any sort of like critical trauma or stress, meaning like societal breakdown, a consequence of our wars, having to fight in one of these conflicts domestically here at home, having the homeland threatened. We've never experienced that. So we literally just waddle around. And then whenever the Israelis tell us an outrageous lie about like, oh, it was the Palestinians. They're so crazy. They just want to kill us for no reason. We don't have any frame of reference. We just say, oh, well, that must be true. Look at that. To President Donald J. Trump, our greatest friend and greatest ally, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Press with both hands. That's the bomb message. Okay. Go ahead and find. Oh, man, it's leaving my head right now like a little birdie and it's flying away from me. Oh, no. Netanyahu in his office. He has the vaccine behind glass. He has it framed. Go ahead and find that. And that's something that he and Trump have in common. You see, Trump is very proud of Operation Warp Speed. He's very proud that he's the father of the vaccine. He's very proud of everything he did with Fauci, too, which is just crazy. Like, and that's one of the big cognitive dissonance things on the right, where it's like, oh, we love RFK Jr., we love MAHA, but then we accept it when Trump is the father of the vaccine and brags about mRNA technology. And it's someone, I think it was Lionel, had a tweet where they're like, who has disappointed you the most out of anybody? And like, the obvious answer is Trump. Right? Like, they'd be lying if you didn't say that was your number one pick. But obviously, everybody's going to say that. So you have to think more critically. And you have to look at that. Look at that. The father of the vaccine and the mother of the vaccine. The unholy relationship. Trump and Netanyahu, they had a baby and it was a needle and a syringe. Netanyahu, more like needle and syringe. There you go. Netanyahu keeps syringe from coronavirus vaccine on display in his. Ooh, it's the one that he got too. That's even sicker. All right. Why would you? All right. Sorry. My bad. All right. We're going to keep getting into the news. We're going to cover more things. I have Matt Murphy coming up. Please dump that crew. I really apologize. Really sorry about that. Let's go ahead and talk about Israel Katz, the Israeli defense minister. Let's play clip number 15.
אני ביקרתי לפני שבוע. בעזה גם ראיתי מנהרות שעדיין נחשפות. מנהרות עצומות, כן? והם מסכלים אותם. הייתי בסג'איה, וכשהייתי בביקור הקודם, הסג'עיה הייתה מחולקת. חלק בקו הצהוב, היום אין סג'עיה. אין ג'באליה, כל המקומות הנוראים האלה, שאתה זוכר?
כן.
Pause it. Okay, he's literally saying the 100-year-old cities, the 1,000-year-old, millennia-old cities, he's bragging about it, they don't exist anymore. He's saying, oh, they say, oh, I don't see any homes today, I see the sea, talking about the Israelis that are happy about it because it's like that Tim Heidecker meme, it's free real estate. And that's what it's all about for these people. And watch on the new InfoWars, ooh, pan back to me, on the new InfoWars, they'll never talk about that. Do a special hour on Palestine. Talk about the genocide, Tim Heidecker. You know, it's all funny to use us for satire and whatever, to take our name and pervert our image and try to do your own graven copy or whatever you're going to do, whatever archetype you're trying to raise up. Why don't you do an hour on the Palestinians? Seriously, because it's very interesting that I can come on the new network and I could literally, and I will do that this week. I'll at least do a full hour on the Palestinian genocide. I can do that with no censorship, with total support. You'll never do that because the people that own you won't let you. That's the reality. That's how you can tell we're real and they're not. And that's why we got to be on the right side of this issue, because this issue is everything. You wouldn't have the war in the Middle East if it wasn't for the Palestinian issue. You have to understand the Islamic identity of the Middle East between Sunni and Shia. These people, they hate each other, they fight each other, they kill each other, but they all understand the Palestinians are their brothers and sisters, and they're being murdered by Israel. So ultimately, when everyone talks about the Islamic threat and the Islamic enemy, imagine if you have people unite in the Middle East. Imagine if you have 100 million Muslims, or like way more than that, because Iran's 90 million alone. At least half the population is Muslim. You have hundreds of millions of Muslims all collectively adopting a global identity about stopping Israel from killing the Palestinians and then like securing their own destiny. And then people on the right will be like, oh, you want to back the Democrats. And it's just like, you guys don't even know what you're creating. They're just like mix and matching different chemicals, like the Sorcerer's Apprentice. And it's going to be like Mickey Mouse, where you got all these brooms coming out and you're like trying, hey, I was trying to do the opposite. I was trying to do something different. And like, you don't really have that option. Let's go ahead and play clip number. And I played this yesterday, but I'll play it again. If you criticize Israel, you will be, or actually, no. One of us is worth at least 10 million of you. And we'll just play this really quick. I'm not going to talk on it. Just go out of it as soon as he says it. Go ahead and play clip number 17.
It sounds like you're saying one Jewish life mm-hmm. is worth hundreds or thousands of Palestinian lives.
Not million. One Jewish life.
Fine.
It's 10 million.
All right, that's all we need. Like, there you go right there. And then I am told, what did we just read? Hold on. But there's a difference between critiquing military aid to Israel or lamenting the death toll in Gaza. This is the Politico article. So these two things are acceptable. Labeling our government as a Zionist occupied government is evil. So where do we fit in the guy that wants to do collective punishment and genocide? Are we allowed to criticize that? Because that's not a part of critiquing military aid or lamenting the death toll. That's about them doing genocide and us paying for it. And you see, if we can't talk about that within your framework, that leads me to believe that we do live in a Zionist occupied government now, don't we? And that's the reality. Let's go ahead and play clip number 16, proving that even more, Marco Rubio.
Under President Trump, the United States will stand with the Jewish people. We have implemented a vigorous new visa policy that will prevent foreign nationals from coming to the United States to foment hatred against our Jewish community. We are holding international organizations and nations accountable for rhetoric against Israel that resurfaces in the manifesto of monsters.
That's all we need. That's all we need. So see how it starts off at first with the Jews and then it becomes Israel. You really don't want those two things to be the same. And that's what Netanyahu is doing. And just like the Israelis in general, in order to preserve their state and grow it to do the Greater Israel Project, that is the greatest act of, like, they could say people generate anti-Semitism or whatever. Like, that is, like, literally retarded that you would do that. It's like gain-of-function research. Like, Nick Fuentes is like Corona, is like COVID-19, basically. Like, they created him. Like, they created all of us, really, by doing this stuff out in the open and then bragging about it and then saying that we can't call it what it is, which is very clearly a Zionist-occupied government. Just say no to Zog. It's that simple. Just say no to Bog, Boomer-occupied government, like all these things. Like, it's just, it's a reality. Because if you can't vote against it on either side, then we are occupied. And look, just they're a bunch of chuckle buddies, man, hanging out with each other. Netanyahu, Marco Rubio, Smotrich, Ben-Gvir. I thought we got something different. I thought we got Trump, and he was supposed to be America first, not America last, not MIGA, not M-I-G-A, make Israel great again, make Iran great again. He said it. Can we find the Trump MIGA tweet, please? Because people won't believe me. But he said it. He said, make Iran great again. It really means make Israel great again. Ooh, it's just so foreboding. Netanyahu is such an evil person. You can just tell. Ben-Gvir is like cartoon bad. He's like a cartoon villain, you know, like he's got definitely got like the princess in a cage above like lava or something, right? Netanyahu is much more insidious. He's like the bear from Toy Story 3. That's how I describe Netanyahu. Oh, I'm your fro. I'm the buddy. Well, we have to have our slave trade. We have to have our genocide. We have to allow for hierarchy. Well, we just, you're tougher. You can handle more forced labor. It is what it is. And that's the path to Animal Farm. That's the path to 1984. Look, get the crud off your teeth. I guess there's probably more crud on his teeth now in the current situation that he's in. RIP to the realest neocon and real MIGA in the game, Lindsey Graham. It's not politically correct, this is Trump, to use the term regime change. Of course, it's a regime change war from day one. But if the current Iranian regime is unable to make Iran great again, why wouldn't there be a regime change MIGA, M-I-G-A? So he said it. I can say it whenever I want. My president said it. My president's orange and my Lambo is blue. And President Trump voted or wanted to screw you. So it is what it is. And just look at this. Almost 900,000 legal immigrants have been naturalized over the past 12 months. Dude, so much winning. Dude, so much net negative migration from Don Zhu, you know, Chinese Emperor Don. You know, almost 900,000 legal immigrants, you know, got to have those 600,000 Chinese students, right, have been naturalized over the past 12 months, while fewer than 800,000 illegal immigrants have been deported. Net negative. Huh. So it's almost like things aren't as good as they tell us, and they just are more selective with the people they're bringing in. It's actually more dangerous. It's more dangerous. Like, it's more dangerous what's going on right now. You have people that can get 30-year mortgages. That's not 4D chess. That's giving people a checkerboard and, like, you know, like slapping yourself in the face. Like, it's literally, it's spiteful that you're going to bring people over here that are going to outcompete Americans for American jobs. And you say, oh, well, you don't like it. That's a meritocracy. That's a meritocracy. There's nothing that's a meritocracy about it. If that was a meritocracy, then all that would live around the world were Chinese, or not Chinese, invasive catfish, whatever they're called, the armored catfish, if we can look this up, crew. The armored catfish would take over all rivers, all creeks, because, hey, it just outcompetes everything, right? It has more kids. So is that the world we're going to live in, where people are just economic units, or does everybody, regardless of race, color, and creed, deserve a homeland, deserve a nation, deserve a history, and to be proud of that history and their people? I'm firmly in the latter camp, and that's why ultimately you're going to see old Uncle Donald and all these people, whether it's Rubio or Vance, they're going to fall by the wayside, and we're going to have that new movement within the party, and it's probably going to look a lot like the Groypers. So that's my breakdown on that. We're going to be joined next segment by Matt Murphy, social media phenom, a lot of podcasts, also former Green Beret, combat veteran. We're going to get into a lot of the geopolitical reality. I want to talk Abraham Accords versus BRICS. Very interesting segment coming up. I'm taking calls in the third hour. I'll see you all very soon. Rex Jones News with the Z on Twitter.
Filter your water. Stop turning my frog friends gay. This I command.
The Alex Jones Store.com. Fight the globalist takeover now.
A scarlet martini before breakfast? You minx. Are you trying to outdo me in corruption? Or shall we make it a team effort?
Of course not, darling. This is Methylene Red from the AlexJonesStore.com.
The Ultra Methylene Red, madame. Bold, refined, and unapologetically potent. It optimizes cellular energy at the deepest level, delivers razor-sharp cognition, and ignites a warm, invigorating rush that spreads through every vein.
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot.
Where, oh, I've said that. But the other day when I had you guys coming on, I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, he goes, about 3 years ago, he goes, you're fat. Your own enemy. He goes, he does that to guests. He was like Theo Von, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globalists are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, getmasterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs, that's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
Completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff, it brings in the key sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. Talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like this.
Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff. It doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
We've got a lot to cover and a lot to get into this segment. I'm being joined by former Green Beret Matt Murphy. I got a lot I want to talk to him about. But I want to remind the audience right now, we're in the middle of a world war. It doesn't just stop day by day. We hear about, there's going to be a ceasefire. There's going to be a new round of negotiations. We're dealing with something that can change minute by minute, day by day. And only someone that's been involved in warfare combat can truly understand that. That's why we interview so many phenomenal guests like Matt, like Joe Kent, like Anthony Aguilar, and a whole host of others, Brian McGinnis as well. Crew, do we have him? Not yet. He said that he was on. So I sent him the Zoom link. I just want to make sure. But we will go ahead and get into a little bit of news before we do that. We just wait for him to get connected. Let's go ahead and play again so you can be reminded of what's going on right now in the country. Let's go ahead and play clip number 7 on the people that have attacked us over and over again. Play the Laura Loomer clip.
I know that I am the person who informed the president of everything that Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly and Candace Owens and Alex Jones were saying about him. And despite preparing a lot of these reports for the White House, it's my understanding a lot of this information was not given to him or explained to him in full, which is alarming because you have to ask yourself who surrounding the president is serving as a gatekeeper for the woke Reich.
All right. So that's the domestic priority. Now I want to play the foreign priority. Let's go ahead and play clip number I just saw it on here. And, all right, clip number 11, IDF general taking total control of the battlefield. Go ahead and play that clip.
And you spoke about AI, you spoke about autonomy. Other than that, what do you think would be the next breakthrough that would fundamentally change Israel's battlefield advantage when it comes to defense tech, whether it be from the big primes or from the Israeli startups?
It's all in there, because if you will know how to connect the great intelligence that you have today that trace thousands of targets, and by using an AI methods, adjust those targets to an attacking cheap, fast, and rapid elements, and manage to control the battlefield in a way that you can operate it in seconds. We saw what Israel managed to do in Iran and in Lebanon, but that's something that we prepared more than a decade. The simultaneously attack that demolished the Hezbollah years of preparation of missiles and rockets and launchers. So I believe that this is the next phase, and hopefully we'll see it sooner than later.
So this is the expansion of the conflict. They have to have the conflict because their entire defense industry, really just entire domestic economy, revolves off of war, just like ours does, right? Remember, war is a racket. This is big industry. This is big business for these people. They make a lot of money with it. The same reason why they're running the AI companies and are in charge of that is because the first real place you test the highest capability of that is at warfare, during warfare. And their goal of owning the battlefield, whether that's instant deployment of different booby traps and mines, instant deployment of different drone technology, drone jamming technology, different radar systems, early detection systems, missile defense, missile offense. This is everything that they are said to be in ascendancy over in the NDAA. We constantly refer to this over and over again. Do not forget, they cared so much about you noticing it, they changed it from Section 224 to Section 219. They changed a little bit of the wording, but it's all the same. The NDAA appoints an executive agent over every other head at DOD. This person is essentially an undersecretary of war, the same as a secretary of war, secretary of defense, and only answers to the president. They have a once-a-year congressional review where they have to submit everything classified, unclassified, unless it's like a real matter of national security, then they don't, which means that's a write-off for literally everything. The language is purposefully vague and kept and maintained a certain way that a lawyer can use it to control everything. Oh, that's not going to happen. They can't do that. The government would never do that to you. What time is it? Is it tariff o'clock? Did Howard Lutnick write the tariff policy, and did he make sure it was illegal and be struck down by the Supreme Court because he bought shorts against it? And then his family made billions of dollars off that? If that would happen there, it could also happen here. So are we joined by our guest yet? All right, all good, totally good. I want to talk to him about this. I think he can stay for another segment, so that's really the only reason why I'm trying to get to that, is because I want to talk to him about all of this. The idea of the Abraham Accords versus BRICS and what that represents, and what I always talk about is we have to project our power so far thousands of miles away, because we don't do it for ourselves. It doesn't ultimately serve American interests to fight these wars in the Middle East. We could have gotten much better deals through negotiation and cooperation with these countries other than just deciding, hey, we'll just kill them, right? But that was Israel's policy, so that became our policy over time. Joining me to talk about that and a lot more is former Green Beret, Matt Murphy. Matt, I was looking for your Instagram. What happened?
They got me, man. I was on my phone the other night, and this notification went up, clicked on it, and they're like, you're deleted.
Right.
Basically, they suspended my account. I have an appeal in, but now when I go to check the status of my appeal, that it won't even pull my account up anymore.
That's
I'm
crazy.
I'm pretty sure I'm gone, man.
I want you to give people your background. I want you to tell them, like, we've had conversations, had numerous conversations, had you on, I think, both of the shows, and really enjoyed our time there on New American Journal. Tell people about what you're about and why you really had to take a stand on all this.
Oh, definitely, man. So I retired from the military. I was a Green Beret. I served in a 5th Special Forces group, and during the middle of my service, I was detailed to the CIA. I was worked on a certain project there that I can talk about now, because Trump's pretty much put it out there, is that the CIA was pretty much directly involved with, incidentally or intentionally, depending on how you look at it, creating ISIS. And then we funded, equipped, and trained ISIS and the fighters for about 5 years. Now, you know, we didn't call them ISIS, and, you know, they said they didn't know that, you know, when they went over there. But, you know, I'm sure the people up top knew, you know, they always do. After that experience, and went back into 5th Group, deployed to Syria a few more times. And during one of my deployments, my younger sister, Sarah, was killed in a human trafficking incident. So I decided to do something to fight human trafficking after that. Started a charity called Operation Lightshine, partnered up with Tim Tebow. And now there's task forces around the country fighting human trafficking at the state level. Also ran the Sentinel Foundation, own an intelligence agency. So I'm very involved in global intelligence operations. I've built intelligence agencies for a couple of different nation states. And yeah, man, so I've just done a whole lot of everything in the intelligence and special operations world, speak Arabic fluently, lived all over the Middle East. And, you know, just over that time, I guess, you know, having to understand all the theology from Islam to Judaism and Christianity, working in the Middle East, because that's the driver of a lot of the things that happen. You know, I became pretty much an expert on theology. So after they killed Charlie Kirk, I just started speaking out and, you know, trying to tell people the truth. And I just really don't care anymore, because, you know, I think we're in the last few years of America. At least that's their plan, because I know their plan and I was a part of it. So
just speak out. I agree. I agree. It's World War E. It's World War Energy, World War Epstein, whatever you want to call it. What do you think about people mm-hmm. that, you know, they deny we're even in a war still?
Well, I think a lot of people, again, we live in a country of bread and circuses. So many people are brainwashed, and this is intentional. You know, they have even starting, if you go back all the way to television programming, right? The agency has intentionally pushed and created so many mechanisms to distract you. You know, now you have so many people that just sit there and watch reality TV. They watch other people live their lives and just sit on their couch. You know, the whole country's programmed, man. You know, we live in echo chambers on social media now. Everybody is getting different news, different information. I think most people just don't even know what's going on outside of their home anymore, much less understand right. how fragile the existence of our country is and this global situation. I mean, you know, when you control people's minds and you control what they see, that's a perfect clip, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
They're literally, you know, believe that everything's okay because their little bubble is okay. And that's the power of psychological warfare, is you can keep people in a little bubble. The world can be burning around them just like that pig. I mean, that's the way I describe it all the time. And they just don't have a clue.
Right. And that's the normalcy yeah. bias that you're talking about. Break that down more for mm-hmm. people. We talk about that all the time here on the network.
Yeah. So, you know, if you don't see it, and if it's not part of your daily life, then it doesn't exist, right? It's not true. That's why I had so much trouble fighting human trafficking and getting people to get behind that fight, because it's really hard to convince people that in every city in this country that children are being trafficked and sold for sex and having terrible things happen to them because they don't see it. It's just not a part of their purview, or, you know, it's not happening in the suburbs or the people who have money that donate. What is, but it's those are the people doing it. You know what I mean? And so there's this ability to keep people in their echo chambers. And as long as you can make their world feel like it's safe, then as long as it doesn't feel like it's burning, and as long as you can keep them distracted from even seeing the problems in their own neighborhood, then they're just not going to wake up to reality.
Right.
And, you know, that psychological warfare aspect of this, because I've been a part of multiple campaigns. I've never ran one because I was on the operations side. You know, we got a lot of interactions with those people, especially the agency. And those people are the evil that they will go to is almost unparalleled. Put it this way. We overthrew Iraq and destabilized Iraq with Pornhub and friends. I just want you to think about that for a second. So if you look at, you know, if you look at Iraq and you think about how, you know, they were very strict Islamic, you know, country. You know, there was a very traditional version of Islam, you know, when Saddam was in power. And if you take Friends and you put it on every TV show in the country, and now women can watch other women, drive cars, have promiscuous sex, own their own apartments, have jobs, sit at the table with men, do whatever they want, buy their own things, you know, tell men what to do, live, you know, live on their own. Well, women start to subconsciously get programmed and they're like, well, wait a second, I want that life. So you don't tell them Islam is wrong. You make show them all the things about Islam that make their life unfair or strict or, you know, oppressed. So little boys, we put free porn all over the internet. And that's where Pornhub really was born, to destabilize the Middle East. That's why the porn was free, because it got little boys to be able to see a vagina and a woman and boobs and, you know, be able to start, you know, having something to masturbate to. But the difference in a society like that with a society like ours is it made the little boys want to go get it. So now they're trying to talk to girls and have girlfriends and break the rules and risk everything, you know, just to get them some, right?
Right.
You know, so it's that powerful. It just took Pornhub and Friends to make people revolt against Islam and start to, you know, question the reality. And that spread like wildfire through the Middle East.
That's a phenomenal breakdown. I want to get back to the Middle East. We're having a text conversation about this. I think it's kind of tied in, related. Zelensky literally played the president on TV. He played the president. Like, you can't write this stuff. I mean, he's Kevin Spacey. Like for real. And then the narrative now of him being the hero and coming in to try to save Trump and Netanyahu, and then they have Laura Loomer, who writes articles or wrote articles for Russia Today, now making like a heel turn pivot. And people eat this stuff up, man. Are the psychological warfare campaigns that simple to run?
They really are. Well, because, you know, you take someone and you put them in a perceived position of power. Like, they do have real authority, right? They are sitting in those seats. And I mean, if you look at a lot of the world leaders, a lot of them are actors. A lot of them are celebrities. Now think about that. These people were puppets already, you know? I mean, Zelensky used to, you know, dress up and drag and dance and do comedy skits.
Right.
You know what I mean? And now he's the president of a country. You know, Trump was a reality TV celebrity, and oh, there we go. You know, so, you know, when you see this kind of stuff, how is that guy the leader of a country like Ukraine? You know, why would the people elect a person like that? Now, you know, I get it. Maybe he's just doing it for funny. I'm sure there's a lot more than funny behind that. But, you know, I'm not going to speak on things I don't know. But why would you elect a guy to be your president, to lead your country through the war and through all the trouble that it's in? And he's obviously always on cocaine.
Yes. Can we have this conversation? All right. Mm-hmm. Here, I'm not a little angel baby. I've been sober for a long time and I take care of myself, not advocating for anything. But this is clear cokehead behavior. Like, he's on drugs. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think you kind of have to be. I mean, when you look at Trump, I mean, Trump's a puppet. He's not making those decisions.
He's on speed.
You
know,
They're not putting men of principle in positions of power. They're not putting men with backbones and morals in positions of power. And I think that's why they go after actors and people that are homosexual, people that have, you know, drug addictions. Hey, I've had my moments too, man. You know, I think a lot of men have.
Right.
And when you look at the framework of someone who you would put into power, if you wanted to control a puppet, you wouldn't get someone with strong religious convictions. You would likely not get someone who's served in the military, who's fought, who's taken lives and saved lives. You would pick someone who's an actor, who's a puppet, who, you know, sells themselves for money. I mean, how many men would put on tights and dance and do it on TV?
Play the piano with your penis. That's what he did. He played the piano with his dick, and then he's the president. Exactly.
Exactly. So it's like they're laughing at us, man. You know, the power that they have, and, you know, I take everything back to, this is the battle of good versus evil. You know, I follow Jesus. I've seen so many things in my life to just confirm the reality of good versus evil, God and the devil, and all these things that are going on behind the scenes. And even if people are starting to fall away to religion or push even more towards it now, you know, the thing people have to remember is the people that are in power, the people in charge, they even openly say it. They're doing all these things with religious objectives. Even now he's talking about greater Israel and the chosen lands. And, you know, Trump's even saying that now.
Let's get into it. Can you do an extra 30 minutes with me as well? Can we go into hour number three here with you? You want to do 5 to 5:30?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah,
so we got like 8 minutes here left on the clock. I want to get into this and we can revisit it after the break as well. If you have more, the Abraham Accords versus BRICS and how that all ties into it and how really like greater Israel and them rebuilding the third temple is central to their plan.
Yes, 100%. Well, so I'm going to take it back a little bit. This all started with the Rothschilds movement to control the banks, right? So Rothschilds have monopolized European banks, started to move into a lot of other countries. If you look at World War I and World War II, they were bankers' wars. That's it. All they were trying to do is destabilize countries that didn't have Rothschild national banks, establish a Rothschild bank, and then they control the banking system. So even though, you know, even up to World War II, there were a bunch of different countries in the world. All these countries were, you know, a majority of the countries were monopolized in the same banking system. So if you control the money, you control the interest rates, you control that, you control the country, right? You know, all wars are bankers' wars. It kind of goes back to Game of Thrones, right? Where even the most powerful king had to go to the bank, you know, and ask for money. You know, so for America, this got really bad in 1913 when they created the Federal Reserve outside of the control of the U.S. government, right? So now you have Rothschild, Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan Chase, and among others, you know, creating the Federal Reserve, a private institution that controls our money, our interest rates, and essentially our economy, right? So, you know, they have a chairman appointed, but that chairman just advises. He can't tell them what to do. The president can just request the Federal Reserve to change interest rates or make decisions. So we no longer control our money. So if you control the money, you control America, all right? So fast forward to 71. You know, they have already gotten their foothold, the global bankers into America, started to take over everything. You know, I mean, we can go on for days about all the things they took over up to 71. But this is the key point that's going to matter for what we're talking about. In 71, Nixon took us off the gold standard. And that was the day that America really started, if you go back, to fight endless wars. Because at that point, now we based the value of our dollar on petrol. So what we did is we use the U.S. military as gangsters, as the mafia, if you will, and we would go around the world and we would force people to use the U.S. dollar and the SWIFT transfer system to buy and sell oil. The only country in the world that did not buy and sell oil with the U.S. dollar up until Trump raided Maduro in Venezuela was China. Everyone else bought and sold oil with the U.S. dollar. That's what gave the U.S. dollar value because we had no more gold standard anymore. It was just the utilization of the dollar. And then consequently, because the U.S. military invaded or kidnapped or killed or, you know, did certain maneuvers to anyone who started to try to do, you know, oil trades outside of the dollar, you know, we had basically the business currency, if you will, like it was the U.S. dollar. So pretty much everyone in the world use the U.S. dollar.
And that was our bullwhip. And that was our bullwhip for a very long time. And we're kind of losing that. So get into that with the rise of BRICS.
Yeah. Well, so the bullwhip now is starting to get interesting because, you know, Maduro started to buy and sell the oil to Russia and China in their own currencies. That's why Trump kidnapped him. That had nothing to do with anything else other than him breaking the rules.
Well, explain that really quick. Hold on. We can get into all this because we have a whole other segment. Break that down. I want to cut that clip. The real reason why Maduro was kidnapped / we did the Venezuela operation. Go ahead.
Yeah. So there were two main factors. So one was he was allowing Russia and China to buy and sell oil in their own currencies directly with Venezuela, which was a big no-no because now you're taking the second largest producer of oil in the world, second to Iran. Funny, we went to Iran next, and you're you know basically kidnapping their leader, you know, because he started to break the rules. So he set the example. Essentially, what Trump was saying is, hey, you don't play by these rules, we will send the most elite units in the world in, and we will kidnap you, and there is not a damn thing you can do about it. Right. That was a message, right? The other thing was, if you go back to December before the raid, J.P. Morgan played a short on silver. They screwed up, and they got a short squeeze to about a tune of $8 trillion December before the raid. And they went to Malaysia, a couple other countries, trying to, you know, hedge their bets and acquire silver and make moves. You know, so the dollar had a serious devaluation in that December that no one knows about because they just print more and lie to you. And Maduro had a very large silver and gold surplus in Venezuela.
You mean we had one? You mean we had it, Matt? We had a surplus that we had to go collect. So
well, we have it now. Yeah, we have it now. You know, and that's the problem, man. Is we're gangsters,
right?
You know, and so you know, you look at 2001. you know, with the weapons of mass destruction and the bad Israeli intelligence that made us invade Iraq. Now, Afghanistan, you know, I think there could have been good things with the Afghanistan invasion had we done that correctly and then secured resources. Now we just turned it over. Now China's taken all the country's resources.
But there's never a plan.
There's never a plan.
Right.
But Iraq was only to destabilize Iraq. And that's what really started to get us to where we're at today. Right. So that invasion of Iraq, we toppled Saddam and we went in there and we destroyed their military, blew up all the tanks, destroyed all their heavy weaponry, you know, killed their leaders. I mean, took out anyone who could make a difference. But most importantly, the equipment. And then we gave them garbage, you know, basically stuff that we could easily blow up and destroy should we need to. And then we trained and, you know, did little things with Iraq. But now Iraq, one of the most powerful countries in the Middle East, had just been destroyed and its leader killed and hung. Right. So as that happened, next guy on the chopping block was Assad. And you got to take out Assad. So I was part of that. You know, I was one of the first Americans to go into the Syria operation. We started building the army that was going to take out Assad. It became ISIS. You know, now I thought it was an oops back in the day, but now that I know more, it wasn't. But anyways,
how typical is that though? how typical is the moderate rebel thing? Really quick, in like 2 minutes, we got left.
The moderate rebel.
Yeah.
So I would say they're typical based on radicalization of movements that we create. Again, it's psyops. You know, the one thing that America and Israel and other European powers do very well is they create the leaders and push a bunch of money into countries that would become our enemies. So that way we can control our enemy. We know what they're doing. We can steer what they do. And then we can use their attacks and their movements to our advantage. One, to keep the military industrial complex rocking and rolling and growing and justify money spent into it. But then two, because, you know, we get to choose when to attack them, when they attack us, and we get to influence a little bit, right? So, you know, we play our enemies like puppets, and majority of the fighters in those armies have no idea. You know, they're being radicalized, but they don't know that their leaders are CIA guys or Mossad or MI6, and so we're steering them. You know, America created Al-Qaeda, Israel created Hamas, Israel and the U.S. created ISIS. I mean, ISIS fighters get free healthcare in Israel. And it was weird. The most evil, radical terrorist regime in the world has never once attacked the Jews. Weird, right?
Hold on. They get free healthcare? ISIS gets free healthcare in Israel?
Yeah. The top officers of ISIS and those fighters get healthcare in Israel now. And the leader, well, former leader of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and then al-Nusra is now the president. And he was in ISIS too. Is now the president of Syria.
There you go. You're talking about al-Shara, mm-hmm. formerly al-Julani, notorious head chopper. We'll be right back with phenomenal information and more from former Green Beret Matt Murphy. Thank you so much. Stay with us.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you, Meta, Facebook is watching you, Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. and talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.